One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler who belonged to the Pharisees, they were watching him. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he marked how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a marriage feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest a more eminent man than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give place to this man,' and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever I read this parable of Jesus in the Gospel, I'm reminded of an experience I had that literally was a fulfillment of part of this parable, where Jesus talks about taking a lower place and then someone will tell you to take a higher place. It was the year 2013 and I went to the March for Life in Washington, D.C. And that year, they said something about 600,000 people went to the March for Life. Actually, it was the first time I had ever gone to the March for Life in my whole life. And I went there, and the night before the march, they have this mass at the Basilica in Washington, D.C. And this year, the mass was going to be celebrated by Cardinal Sean O'Malley, who happens to be my archbishop here in Boston. And there's so many people that go to the Basilica. I think they say something like 9 or 10,000 people get packed into the Basilica upstairs and downstairs. And, you know, downstairs they have to watch the Mass on TV because there's no room. And then upstairs people have to just squeeze in together and find a good place. And there are so many priests and a number of bishops who go that the procession in at the beginning of Mass takes over 20 minutes. And as I was coming into the Basilica, I was so impressed with the faith of all the people who were there. Many of the people had traveled many, many hours on a bus to get to this Mass, and yet they were so joyful to pray together, to support one another in the cause of life, and to worship Christ in the Eucharist. And as we were processing in, all of us priests, they lead us up the sanctuary, and you bow to the altar and then kiss the altar. And there was a section of priests on both sides of the altar going towards the very back of the sanctuary. And as I was going into my seat, they led me to what could be described as the absolute worst seat in the house. I was under this alcove. There was like no lighting. It was really dark. And I couldn't see the altar. I couldn't see the pulpit. And I was feeling pretty bad for myself. But as I am prepared to sit down in this horrible seat, one of the conductors of the liturgy, one of the MCs, comes up to me and says, "Oh, come here, we have an extra seat up here." And he takes me down to the row in front of me and puts me in a section directly behind the altar. And now I have the best seat in the house because I can see everything. I can see the presider's chair where Cardinal O'Malley was going to be leading the Mass. I can see the altar perfectly, and I can see perfectly the pulpit. And I really wanted to see the pulpit because I always love hearing Cardinal O'Malley preach. He's a great preacher and inspires a lot of people with his preaching. And I also could see pretty much the entire church and all the people gathered in the church. And I was like, wow, this is like the gospel passage where Jesus says, "Take a low place and the host will come and tell you, go up higher." Well, anyway, this parable of Jesus that he gives us in his teaching is a call to us to seek the low place, to be humble. My mentor in the priesthood, Father Jim Flanagan, used to tell us that you have to see yourself as the lowest and the least. And he used to always say that. And the goal was to get us to be humble so that we could be filled with God's grace. Humility is not weakness. Humility is not self-defeat. Humility is the acknowledgement of truth. What is this truth? It's the truth that God is God, and we need him. And it's the truth that we are not God, that we are like a speck of dust in the cosmos, that of ourselves, we don't have a lot, but God loves us. So that's where we find our greatness, is in our relationship to God. Arrogance is the opposite of this humility. And arrogance says that we are God, that we're above God, that we don't need God, we don't need his word. Now, humility and arrogance ultimately are all about relationship. Relationship to God and relationship to others. Humility before God means that we're going to seek to do his will. You know, it's very noticeable that in the prayer that the Lord Jesus gives to us, the Our Father prayer, he tells us to say to God, your will be done. In other words, we're not asking God to do our will, but to do his will. Humility before God means that we acknowledge our sins and we repent if it's necessary. And we do this each day. Humility also will lead us to prayer, to help us to recognize how much we need prayer and that we need God. Arrogance before God is the opposite of all these good things. Arrogance will lead us to ignore the will of God, to never turn away from sin, to not even care about it. It will lead us to never pray because we feel like, oh, we don't need God, I don't need religion, I don't need any of that, I'm fine all by myself. You see how humility and arrogance affect one's relationship to God. Then humility before others, which is a necessary consequence of humility before the Lord, leads us to seek the happiness of others and their well-being. It can lead us to make many, many sacrifices, small ones and sometimes big ones, to help others. With humility before others, we won't try to dominate others. Instead, we'll try to inspire them. I know a man who's a guitar player in a band, and he's really good. He's one of the best musicians around. And in his band, he tries to have a sense of humility. He might know how to do something better than some other musician, but if it's not a big deal, he'll let it go so that the other musicians can feel more comfortable in the band and more happy in the band. And what it does is it helps to inspire the other band members to do their best. Humility will lead us to listen to others, to be patient with them, to be merciful. Arrogance before others is the opposite of all these good things. Arrogance will lead us to try to dominate others, to try to control them. And that is a big threat to relationships. When people try to dominate and control other people, it's really no good. It causes all kinds of problems for everybody involved. So we have these two opposite things. They don't seem like they're a big deal, but they really are. In fact, humility is kind of like, as a preacher once said, spiritual nuclear weapon. It's so powerful. Remember in the book of Genesis, the spirit of evil tempted Adam and Eve, and tempts all their descendants to a pride, to an arrogance where we can try to live without God. And that caused so much trouble for Adam and Eve, and does so for people all the time in the world today. Sometimes people, they read the book of Genesis and they don't believe the story of Adam and Eve, but I gotta tell you, it plays out again and again all across the earth. And that temptation to arrogance is one of the biggest problems in the world. So brothers and sisters, as we have this simple teaching of Jesus to seek the path of humility, let us look also to his example. He is the most humble ever, because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he took the form of a little child and a servant, and he died a horrific death on a wooden cross. And that led to his resurrection, to his ascension, and he has billions and billions of followers all over the world. God bless you.